In the book of Proverbs, once again for this morning, chapter 13, verse 3, Solomon tells us, "He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction." I want you to look at that again this morning. Solomon says, "He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction." How many of you have probably heard the little saying, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me"? Well, there's probably no greater lie ever told than that one, other than the one that your parents said whenever they took a switch from off of a tree and said, "This is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you." I can't think of any two lies that have probably been perpetuated down through the years than those two. But that's probably, this morning, it is certainly truthful that there are hurtful words in life. And I want you to think with me this morning, how many of you can remember, please don't raise your hand, don't incriminate yourself, but I want you to think this morning, down through the years, some kind of hurtful word that was said to you, and to this very day, you have never forgotten it. What about a nickname? Somebody nicknamed you through the years. Some unflattering comment about some type of clothing that you had on? Maybe it was an unflattering comment or a harsh word from a supervisor that was evaluating your work. You see, I believe that words have tremendous power. They either build us up, they either edify us, or they tear us down. Words we speak, words that we listen to this morning have tremendous power to affect us either negatively or positively. Solomon would say that you and I have to learn how to guard our speech. Out of all the 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, Solomon devotes 150 Proverbs to the subject of controlling our speech. He would say, if you and I are going to live successfully, then we need to control our speech. As I've listened to all of the politicians on the radio this past week, pick your party, it doesn't matter. I thought to myself, boy, for a bunch of hot air to be spewing from all different directions, none of them obviously read the book of Proverbs. None of them obviously has taken to heart what Solomon said so many years ago. For the past several Sunday mornings, you and I have been looking at some uncommon wisdom from the book of Proverbs that seems to go against the grain of the culture in which we live. It's thinking. Solomon would say, you never have to explain what you did not say. Think about that this morning. You never have to explain what you did not say. As we read, the one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips, Solomon says, comes to ruin. This morning, I want to give you four life applications for what Solomon says that you and I need to do in avoiding some speech in order to make us live successful lives. In Proverbs chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, Solomon says, "My son," young people, he's writing to his son. Solomon says, "My son, give attention to my wisdom, incline your ear to my understanding, that you may observe discretion and your lips may reserve knowledge." And then in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 14, Solomon says, "Wise men store up knowledge, but with the mouth of the foolish, ruin is at hand." And then in Proverbs 18, verse 7, it says, "A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are the snare of his soul." Proverbs chapter 21, verse 23, Solomon says, "He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. So what kind of speech would Solomon tell you and me this morning that we need to guard against if we want to live a successful and enjoyable life? Number one, he says you and I need to guard against false speech. False speech. In a world that you and I live in that's gone mad, it seems that we listen to speeches all the time. We hear words all the time that are spoken, and yet we do not know what's true. We do not know what's false. Have you ever been in a supermarket and while you're standing in line to get your groceries checked out, you see some of the magazines that are there, and these editors, they know how to capture your attention. Maybe it's the 10 best dressed women of 2019. Maybe it's 7 things that you ought to do with your money before the year is over. Or whatever the caption may be, these editors know how to draw your attention to what they want to sell. Well, Solomon knows how to draw our attention to 7 things that God hates. This should grab mine and your attention this morning. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, Solomon says, there are 6 things which the Lord hates. Yes, 7 which are an abomination to him. And then he begins to list them: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. And then he says, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. You see, 3 of those 7 things there that Solomon includes in his list have to do with our speech. They have to do with our tongue and what we do. Let me tell you, God hates lying. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 17, James said, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In John, chapter 15, verse 6, Jesus is saying, you want to know what truth is? In the world that you live in today, that is just all about subjectiveness, that just says, you know, if it's right for you, then it's right, and there's no wrong. If it's right for you, then it's okay. But I want you to know, Jesus says that's not true. Jesus says there is objective truth. And listen to what he said in John chapter 15, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way. If you want to go to heaven, Jesus said, I'm the way to get there. Jesus said, if you want to go to heaven, you're going to have to go by the way of the cross, through the shed blood of Christ, through faith in Christ alone, through grace alone, and through Christ alone. Jesus said, I'm the way. Jesus said, you want to know what truth is? Jesus said, I'm the truth. And Jesus said, you really want to know what life is? Jesus said, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. You see, God is absolute truth. There may be many things out there in life that you cannot determine what is true and what is false speech. But Jesus said, there is an absolute truth. Let me tell you, he says that Satan is untruth. In fact, in John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus describes young people. He describes Satan there. He says, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him, speaking of Satan. Whenever he, speaking of Satan, speaks a lie, he, Satan, speaks from his own nature, for he, Satan, is a liar and the father of lies. Jesus very plainly said, lies come from Satan. And Satan has been lying ever since the Garden of Eden. In Proverbs chapter 6, Solomon would say, a worthless person, a wicked man, is the one who walks with a perverse mouth. In Proverbs 12:19, Solomon would say, truthful lips will be established forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment. In Proverbs 21, verse 6, Solomon would say, the acquisition of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor, the pursuit of death. You see, when Solomon said, you and I should run from falsehood, I think he's referring to three kinds of false speech. Now, what kind of false speech would Solomon say we should run from? Number one, one type of false speech is flattery. Flattery is telling people what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear. You see, the one who is the flatterer has his or her own agenda, and Solomon has some very unflattering words to say to the flatterer. Notice in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 5, a man who flatters his neighbor is spreading a net for his steps. Now notice that phrase, his steps, there at the end of verse 5. That comes from the Hebrew text, and we really don't know exactly what Solomon is referring to. Is Solomon saying the steps of the flatterer, or is he saying the steps of the flatteree? I believe that Solomon is saying that both people get tripped up in flattery. The flatterer is eventually going to have his insincerity exposed, but the one who gets the flattering words is also going to get tripped up as well. I believe there's another type of false speech that Solomon say would run from other than flattery, and that is number two, distortions or perversions of the truth. You see, it's telling the truth, but you have the intention of wanting to deceive. Now, when the Bible doesn't use here the word distortion, it does use the word perverse or perversion. In Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 1, better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than he who is perverse in speech and is a fool. Well, number one, Solomon says if you want to live a successful life, first of all, he says you need to run from false speech. In that Roman numeral number one that we're still on, we're looking at three kinds of false speech. Flattery is one of those that he says to run from. He says to run from perversions, secondly. And thirdly, another false speech that we should run from are exaggerations. This means adding to the truth. Now, everybody loves to tell a good story. Everybody loves to embellish upon the truth, don't we? I mean, let's be honest this morning. Doesn't everybody love to embellish on the truth? And don't you love it when somebody's telling you a story and I just get so involved in the story? I love to listen to the story because you can sometimes tell the embellishment. You can sometimes pick out this is muchly exaggerated. And we all love to do that. But the Bible tells us that we ought to run from these things because exaggerations will soon be exposed and we'll be embarrassed. In fact, there's a story that was told about a world-class musician who wanted to play in a particular orchestra. And this musician, he wanted to try to get into the orchestra, and some way he finagled his way in, and he pretended as if he was playing the instrument. And it looked great for a while until one day the conductor walked into the orchestra room and said, I am going to listen to each one of you play your instrument individually on a particular song. And this person realized he was caught in a trap. This person realized, I don't have time to go and learn this song. And by the way, that's where we get the phrase that he didn't want to face the music. You wonder where we get that phrase? That's where it came from. He didn't want to face the music. Sometimes we have to face the music of our flattery, of our perversions, our distortions, and sometimes of our exaggerations. Well, Solomon said if you want to live a successful life, first of all, run from false speech. And that would include flattery, perversions and distortions and exaggerations. Number two, Solomon says, if you want to live a successful life, guard your speech and run away from divisive speech. Or some people call it divisive. I want you to know, I checked that out. Either one is correct. So whether it's divisive or divisive, both pronunciations are acceptable. And this speech leads to division among human beings. Solomon specifically speaks about two of these. What kind of divisive speech is he referring to? Number one, he's referring to gossip. Uh-oh, the preacher started meddling. The Greek New Testament for the word gossip is the word sistis. And gossip is secret. It's private information that's about another person. Gossip only feels comfortable when it's told undercover. Have you ever noticed that? I'm going to tell you something, but don't you tell anyone. Boy, I know immediately we're in trouble. If they're going to tell me something, tell me not to tell it, what are they going to tell that I told? Hello, y'all know what I mean? Gossip is one of those things that robs you and me of valuable time. Gossip robs of valuable time. Look what Solomon said about it in Proverbs 18, verse 8 and 9. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. Verse 9, he also who is slack in his work is brother to him who destroys. Solomon says, don't gossip. He says it takes away from valuable pursuits in life. There's another problem with gossip besides robbing you and me of our time, but secondly, gossip always backfires. Gossip backfires. Let me tell you, most people don't keep their confidence. In fact, you and I live in a world today where there is so little confidence that no one seems to trust anyone, and therefore no one is willing to bear their heart and soul for fear that a block down the street, they'll hear what they've just told to the next person. That's why Solomon tells us in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19, he who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, Solomon said, do not associate with a gossip. Wow. Solomon gives some powerful words here this morning. What's another divisive speech besides gossip? Well, it would be slander. Slander is the first cousin of gossip. Slander means to strike or to speak out against, to openly condemn another person. You see, the slanderer is the one who has taken upon him or herself to become the judge, the jury, and the executioner. Let me tell you, the slanderer wants the person's reputation to be tarnished in some way. James spoke about that in chapter 4 of the book of James in verse 11 and 12. James says, do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law, but you judge the law. You're not a doer of the law, James says, but a judge of it. And then he says in verse 12, there's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who's able to save and to destroy, but who are you who judge your neighbor? You see, the Bible plainly says there's only one judge, and that is God Almighty. And now when you and I speak out against what the Bible speaks for, then we're not judging at that point. We're just speaking truth from the Bible. But when we judge another, and we don't have all of the information, we don't have all of the details, we've not heard both sides. Have you ever noticed mostly gossip is one-sided? Have you ever noticed that slander is usually one-sided? We only get to hear the one part. If you could get both parties together and each tell their story, then you could draw from that whatever you choose to draw. But you see, whether gossip and slander, whether they're true, whether they're not true, we should never, ever try to destroy a person's reputation. There's a third kind of speech this morning Solomon says flee from. He says flee from false speech. He says flee from divisive speech. Thirdly, he says flee from premature speech. Every trial lawyer knows that the first lawyer to speak, it's not the first lawyer who speaks, but it's the second one that seems to have the greatest effect upon the jury in trials. Solomon knew that because Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 17, he spoke about that. The first to plead his case seems right until another comes and examines him. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 8. Do not go out hastily to argue your case. Otherwise, what will you do in the end when your neighbor humiliates you? You see, if you're trying to persuade people, then you better let somebody else speak first and then listen to the information before you begin to judge too hastily. Until you've got all the facts, Solomon would say, be sure that you know all the facts before you try to bring judgment. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13, Solomon said, he who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly, that means foolishness, young people, and shame to him. So Solomon says this morning, if you want to be successful, if you want to live a Christian life that will have impact, that you will have influence, he said, flee from false speech, flee from divisive speech, flee from premature speech. Anybody ever spoken too quickly? Have you ever made a quick judgment call and you spoke quicker than you should have spoken and then you heard all of the information or you heard the truth of the story and then you realized how humiliated, how embarrassed, how foolish you felt when you really got the truth of the whole story? Solomon said these are some things we ought to run from. Fourth and lastly, this morning Solomon said we ought to run from unnecessary speech. Here's a factoid you can file away in your mind. Did you realize that on any given day, you and I speak anywhere from 10,000 to 20,000 words a day, enough to fill a small book, and yet did you know that in America, that most people read less than one book per year? No wonder William Shakespeare would say men of few words are the best men. So what happens when there's such a disparity in what we intake and what we output? Solomon understood the importance of silence. He warned in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise. He who restrains his lips is wise. Proverbs 11, verse 12, Solomon would say, he who despises his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding keeps silent. Solomon would say in Proverbs 13, verse 3, the one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. So you see, Solomon says you and I need to refrain from unnecessary speech. In counseling, down through the years, one of the things that I have garnered most from many counseling situations in grief and death and dying is that most people try to fix everything when you can't fix it. And instead of just hugging somebody and hush, the hug says it all. We come up with all of these unnecessary words. And people have sat and wept and cried and said, this is what I remember the most. The unnecessary words that I did not need to hear. Unnecessary words. Let me leave you with five principles, and I'm finished. Five principles to help us guard our speech when we never have to explain something we didn't say. Number one, refrain from unnecessary words. Refrain from unnecessary words. Number two, refuse to criticize until you've talked with that person personally. Refuse to criticize until you've talked with them personally. You see, there's a difference in correction and criticism. Correction is done in private. And the goal of correction is restoration. But criticism is done openly and publicly, and its goal is condemnation. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18, Solomon would say, "There is one who speaks rashly, like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Third thing you and I need to do is remove all lies. Remove all lies, exaggerations, and distortions from the truth. There's an old Arabian proverb which says, when you're looking at a situation, you ought to do three things before you speak. Number one, ask yourself the question, is it true? Number two, is it needful? And number three, is it kind? You see, even if the gossip is true, should you repeat it? Ephesians 4:25 says, "Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." Ephesians 4:29, Paul said, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for," that word edification, young people, means to build up, "according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear." A fourth principle this morning, remind yourself of the need to purify your heart. Remind yourself of the need to purify your heart. I often say, it doesn't behoove any of us to talk about some of us, because none of us are perfect. Remind yourself of the need to purify your heart. You see, your tongue reveals what's in your heart. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, "It's not what enters into the mouth that defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth, this defiles the man." You see, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. You see, when we meditate on the Word of God, we begin to cleanse our heart. "Thy Word," the Bible says, "have I hid where in my heart?" Why? That I might not sin against God. There's a fifth principle today. Remember your accountability to God for your words. Remember your accountability to God for your words. I promise you this morning, out in this crowd of people, you remember what someone said to you that was hurtful. You cannot forget it. It wounded you deeply. It pierced through your heart. Notice what Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 36 and 37, "But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. Woe be unto Washington and all of the politicians." Jesus said, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Jesus said, one of these days, we're going to give an account of every foolish and idle word that we've uttered. You see, our words are recorded with the infinite Almighty God of the universe. And Solomon says to you and me this morning, you will never have to explain what you did not say. Be sure, Solomon would say, to flee false speech, to flee divisive speech, to flee premature speech, and to flee unnecessary speech. Those are the things that wound. Those are the things that harm. Those are the things that people carry with them, even though it's baggage. They carry it with them for a lifetime. Solomon says, be careful. Guard your speech. Amen? Oh, me? Would you stand as we pray together?